It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump's tax cut and spending package that is now law contains numerous provisions for businesses, including the restaurant and hospitality industry. The head of the National Restaurant Association said the pro-growth tax policies contained in the law will strengthen the food service industry. According to the trade group, among the benefits for restaurant operators is the ability to fully expense capital equipment purchases. As the Big Beautiful Bill Act moved through Congress, the Wisconsin Restaurant Association also came out in support of it. But at the same time, the president's push for tariffs and shifting policies on immigration have created new waves of uncertainty in the restaurant industry. Here to talk about the economic conditions is Susan Quam, Executive Vice President of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. The trade group represents thousands of food service or hospitality venues in the state. Susan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
The association had come out in support of several provisions in President Trump's sweeping legislation. Now that it is law, what key changes is your association most anticipating and supportive of?
Well, there's a couple very key areas that we were in support of in the recent reconciliation bill. A lot of that was extending tax cuts for small businesses that were laid out in 2017 and were scheduled to expire. And we wanted to see those tax cuts extended and made permanent. So that did happen. And that's a very, very good news for all of our restaurant operators in Wisconsin, the vast majority of them being small businesses and independent operators.
Which of those specifically in these tax savings have you seen restaurants not only appreciate, but really get help from?
The biggest one is the 20% qualified business income deduction, or QBI, and that's for pass-through businesses, which is what the majority of our independent and small franchisees are. And it allows them to basically bring down their effective tax rate from 37% to just a little more than 29%. And that kind of creates parity with the larger businesses that also received tax cuts back in 2017. So this was a very important addition and change that was made when the original cuts came through that our businesses really, especially post-COVID, definitely rely on to stay afloat and stay being able to keep their doors open. But there's other ones too, like business interest expense deduction, being able to utilize calculation of interest in some of their deductibility areas so they can free up some capital either to pay off debt or make additional investments. We have made permanent the family and medical leave tax credits. So if a operator chooses to offer paid family and medical leave, they do get a tax credit for that. It allows you to fully expense capital equipment purchases in the year that you purchase them versus having to depreciate. So those are all really very important for the day-to-day business operations in order for our folks to maintain that very narrow 3% average profit margin that they have.
I want to talk about that. You know, some restaurants run on these razor-thin margins, and debt is an issue. Have these particular tax incentives, do you see restaurants able to expand because of their ability to have some of these incentives? Or what do you see there?
Well, I think we do see a combination. We'll have some operators who are going to be able to take advantage of and possibly expand or open up another location because they now know with certainty where they're going to be starting in 2026 from a tax standpoint. So they might be able to make those investments, take on that additional debt that they would have to make those expansion and kind of know where they're going to be. I think with other operators, this is purely, they're still with all of the other increases in expenses that we've had since 2020, that, this is just something that helps them continue to stay afloat with the footprint that they already have.
One of the items that's been talked about is the tax deduction for servers and bartenders who are earning tips. How big of a deal is that for the restaurant industry in Wisconsin?
I think it's a huge deal. I mean, when you have you know, in an industry, especially for our industry, where those positions, a huge portion of those positions are filled by people who want to work part-time and are either putting themselves through school or bringing in a supplementary income into their family. So to be able to deduct or not have to pay income tax on that first $25,000 in tips is really, really important. I mean, that's going to be a huge, you know, boost to their bottom line and their take-home pay. And it also incentivizes people to make sure they do declare 100% of their tips, because then they also still have their Social Security and all of the other types of programs that are out there accurately recording their information and their income, so that when it's time to get a car loan or buy a new house, they have a full robust W-2 to have out there. So along with the $12,500 tax deduction for overtime premium pay, that's also great for every hourly employee in the restaurant industry, whether you're front of the house or back of the house, because that also helps them put more money in their pocket if they're working overtime. So those are huge for our employees. They're huge in putting more money in their pocket. And many of them, you know, especially college students and others who are working part-time, it really helps them.
What about back of house? What about the dishwashers and, you know, people preparing the food? What can be done to help kitchen staff?
Well, one of the reasons that we have a tip credit provision in labor law is so that more money can be given to the back of the house employees that aren't allowed to get tips. And that's the hard part. Now, mandatory tip pooling and other types of things are dictated by federal law and what you can and cannot do as far as tip sharing within the industry. So this helps operators pay those employees more. In addition, that if any of those employees are working any overtime because they picked up a shift in a week to cover somebody else or something like that, then they're able to take advantage of that tax deduction on overtime premium pay as well, which would put more money in their pocket.
Turning now to tariffs, President Trump setting the deadline of August 1st for other countries to negotiate with the U.S. ahead of tariffs. How would tariffs impact Wisconsin restaurants? What do you see?
Well, we are seeing reports, you know, from restaurant operators, you know, that they're kind of in getting bounced up and down as far as the pricing of their option, you know, of their products as tariffs are threatened and maybe go into effect for a couple days and then come back. So it's kind of volatile in our wholesale, especially in the wholesale food price area right now. We are seeing some increases. I think some importers and suppliers are just putting in some increases in place just to cover themselves should, you know, tariffs appear out of in a very quick fashion, and they're kind of trying to preemptively strike that. So it is causing some increase in prices. I think what our operators are doing is trying to take a hard look at their menus and seeing where they can streamline, where they can source from other places, you know, what changes they may need to make should something, you know, come into place. But in just the last 5 years, you know, our food, average food costs have gone up about 40%.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a tremendous increase. You know, we have a much, unlike a grocery store, restaurants and the restaurant industry is a much narrower list of products, and especially in the food area that we use. And a lot of those products have gone up exponentially in price, not just, you know, and tariffs are just adding onto the top of that. It's not, that's not the cause of those price increases. Labor prices, wages have gone up at least 35% since 2020. And then now credit card processing fees are also the third highest cost. So you couple all of that together, and it's putting quite a bit of pressure back on menu prices. And that's probably where, and I think, you know, consumers have seen menu prices going up about 5% a year. You're going to see it continue to go up until some of those price increases are stabilized.
In these times of economic uncertainty, what is the sentiment you're hearing from Wisconsin restaurant owners in terms of trying to build and grow a business in these times? Is that possible?
It's possible, but I can tell you that we do have a lot of folks who are, you know, definitely slowing down in how fast that they're making those types of expansion opportunities. They're really wanting to make sure that they have everything in place, that they have a plenty of capital in place or solid customer base and before they can do any type of growth or expansion. It's right now, especially for an independent operator, opening a restaurant has its challenges depending on where you are located, whether there's enough employees available for you to staff that type of operation, or whether the you have a customer base that's willing to pay the menu prices needed in order to make that 3% profit margin. So I think we have some guarded optimism at the moment for the industry. People are feeling better. Our polling, at the National Restaurant Association says that operators are feeling better than they did 3 months ago. But they're still obviously pretty guarded in how fast they want to be putting themselves out there financially.
Susan, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Happy to talk anytime.
That is Susan Quam, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Now for another perspective on the impacts of this sweeping tax cut and spending law, we turn to Dan Jacobs, the head chef and co-owner of Esther Ev and Dan Dan in Milwaukee, and a runner-up on the 21st season of Top Chef. He's also a board member of the Independent Restaurant Coalition. Dan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
You signed this letter along with hundreds of chefs nationwide who opposed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which is now law. Why did you oppose this domestic agenda?
So, I mean, there's a couple reasons. And, the state of restaurants right now, it's tough. I mean, it really is. And I don't think we need any more obstacles in our ability to just have a viable business. And the One Beautiful Bill, there's a couple points in there, I think, that really, first one, the no tax on tips seems like it's something that's very helpful. But it's really not that great. It's only up to the first $25,000 that you make. And that's, if we take a step back, servers, have this sub minimum wage, which is allowed in the state of Wisconsin. So they're dependent on tips. So $25,000 is not a lot of somebody's yearly salary. I would say our servers probably that's less than half of what their yearly salary is going to be. So then they're still going to get taxed on their tips. They're just not going to get taxed on that first $25,000. But it also sets a precedent that's really hard for us to maintain, which is, again, this gap in pay between the front of the house and back of the house. Back of the house is always, speaking about the kitchen, is historically these are people that work. People that work in kitchens are probably some of the most vulnerable people that we have. This is where we have people that don't, that can't really fight for themselves. And it just kind of sucks.
Okay, I just want to stop there. I mean, the letter calls no tax on tips, quote, harmful and short-sighted. In terms of the short-sighted part, can you talk more about even why more dollars on the near term wouldn't be helpful to servers?
I mean, it's not that it's not helpful to them, but it's short-sighted in the fact that it only helps a certain part of the population, like of a restaurant. So this is only going to help out, one half of that restaurant while the other half is just left behind.
Hmm. You have other issues with this domestic agenda. What, can you talk further? What else do you see here?
Well, one of them is scary to talk about because you worry about, like, I think other restaurant owners and as well as myself worry about like backlash about talking out against some of the administration's, some of the things with ICE enforcement. I mean, the people that work in restaurants are people that, sometimes these are jobs that we don't have anybody else who wants to do them. And, if you take that away, I think you take away the ability for restaurants to be a place where people can gather, you can have those special occasions.
Have you taken any steps to help to protect your employees?
I think we, this is the crazy part is that we literally in pre-shift have, trainings on what to do if, you know, ice does come into the restaurant. And that's something that I never thought I would ever have to do. I never thought I'd have to have these sort of training things. We have signs up for the employee only areas. But you know, there's a lot of gray area, and you know, we just want to keep our people safe and working and productive. Like, none of the people who work for us are bad people. Like, they're not, they're great. Like, literally, and they've worked for us for years and years. And I just want that to continue.
I want to turn to tariffs. There are so many concerns that these are going to have such a huge impact on people's pocketbooks and their spending and their habits for eating out. And you've been writing about this. Can you give us any update about how you think tariffs might affect everything from buying equipment to who shows up for dinner?
Stuff that scares me is stuff that we're bringing in. You know, so we bring in, you know, like black vinegar from China. We bring in fish sauce from Thailand. These things are all going to go up in price. Like, there isn't really makers of this in the United States. Like, nobody really makes this in the United States. So the only way we're going to be able to get around that, and I actually don't know how we're going to do that. I think when you look at restaurants that buy French wine, they're going to have to either start thinking about maybe not buying French wine, or like that price is going to go up. It's just, it's sad, because I think these are things that, again, I think people that voted the way they did didn't realize what these things were, but this is exactly what it is. I don't think they understand how tariffs work. I don't think people fully grip what that is. It's not the government paying for it, or somebody else's government paying for it, or the producer in that country paying for it. It literally is the consumer who's going to pay for these tariffs.
What's the ceiling here? How much can restaurants pass those costs on, do you think?
That's a great question. I think the only way you can answer that is based on the consumer and what they're willing to do, what they're willing to go out for. I think it's definitely going to change how people dine here and in Milwaukee. Like, I think people are going to be more selective, and I think they're going to be less eating out. So if you ate out once a week, maybe you only eat out twice a month now.
Are you finding like-minded chefs who are politically energized to get in the middle of these debates?
I think it's really tough, because I think there's a legitimate fear of backlash, you know, especially with this administration. Like, I think you have this, you know, you want to protect your people, but you want to make sure you also want to, I want to be a voice, you know, for my industry, but I also don't want things to come back on the people that work for us. So I think it's a tough line.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Dan Jacobs is the head chef and co-owner of Esther Ev and Dan Dan in Milwaukee. And he was runner-up on the 21st season of Top Chef. Earlier, we heard from Susan Quam, Executive Vice President of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. We talked about the current economic climate for operating restaurants in Wisconsin and how the federal government's new tax and spending law will impact these establishments.